Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. I'm in the world's most echoey room, which is a fun place to record the preamble for episode number 43, which I've just listened to. An interesting episode for the simple fact that this is probably the drunkest I've ever been on one of the podcasts before. Although I did miss the listen of, from memory, it's episode 10, where we did the drinking game rules. I hope you enjoyed that. I should give that a listen, actually. And I'd like to hear what old Monty had to say ahead of that episode too. I remember that quite fondly. And the banana, and the blood. Oh, yuck. Anyway, we're not talking about that one. We're talking about this one. Guy Montgomery, sober as a judge, as far as I can tell. Tim Batt, absolutely blasted by himself in a flat on the eve of a significant holiday. It's a grim scene, to be sure. Making a lot of calls, some of them spicy, some of them not, coming for Guy, as you'd expect. Slightly belligerent, I think, with the amount of booze rolling around in my bloodstream. But, I don't want to spoil anything, but there is the Paddy Shorts party time in this episode is a really special one that spawned a lot of fan art, and one of the best ones, I reckon. It's cool. It's low-key in here. It's funny, these moments, you know, that get immortalized in life and in the podcast and in other shows, where it's actually the mention of it itself is quite low-key. And then the myth that grows around that moment and the memes that form and all the beautiful artwork and references and whatnot. But anyway, the Paddy Schwartz this time is a good one, in my opinion. I hope you enjoy this episode. I have absolutely zero memory of recording it, for obvious reasons. A lot of the ones in season one I do remember fondly. This one, no knowledge of saying the words that you're about to hear from my mouth. Enjoy. Welcome to The Worst Idea of All Time, episode number 43. My name is Tim Batt.
My name is Guy Montgomery, and a happy holidays to all of you.
Yes, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Right up front, we'd like to make you aware of the situation of the watching here today. Firstly, I'm surrounded by many, many empty beer bottles. I think I've polished off 7 beers now, Guy. And what I would like to say is that we just recorded a podcast and Guy's computer crashed and lost the audio file on his side. So we're having to record another one straight off the bat.
Yeah, so there's going to be a particular flavour of anguish on this one as we dip into the Grown Ups 2 pool not once but twice in one day. And of course, the exciting news is that, Tim, you've still got your audio file, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's here.
So, I mean, the option is always there to just release. That would be a very funny listen because you would sound truly insane because it would sound like you're imagining recording a podcast with someone.
But who wants, does anyone want that is the question. I feel insane enough, is it? I'll just explain my situation right now. I'm alone, completely alone in my big flat. It's just me. It's Christmas Eve. It's only 10 past 11 in the morning now, for Christ's sake. I've already watched the movie and done one podcast and polished off quite a few beers. I've got a good quality microphone in front of me, which, to increase the audio quality, I've taken the following steps. Number one, I put it on a stand, which I'm holding,
I've put on fingerless gloves that are made of possum fur to reduce the amount of like mic noise. I've got a pop sock in front of it, and I'm wearing two sets of headphones. So on the inside, I've got like earbuds that are connected to the cell phone, which is how I can hear what guy's saying. And over the top of that, I'm listening to my own voice through larger headphones to make sure I'm not peeking out.
That is a pretty wacky arrangement. Mine isn't quite as exciting, but it's also of interest. I'm outside in the beating sun. I've got one muff headphone on my left ear, my phone pressed against my right ear, and to try and combat the sun, because the best reception is only available in sunny spots right now, I've put a chair with a towel over it on the table next to my computer. It looks weird. I mean, it looks really weird, Tim, and I'm just recording straight into this shitty little computer microphone, so I apologise for the audio quality whenever I speak on this particular episode of The Worst Idea of All Time, but we're not here to talk about the technical arrangement.
But firstly, Guy, you need to explain where you are and why we're doing this crazy technical arrangement. That's important.
Yeah, well, we just had a bit of a technical hiccup, didn't we? Internet, I'm currently in the Marlborough Sounds, which is the top of the South Island, and reception and internet access are patchy at best. And so we've been forced into a corner and we're improvising. Much like I imagine the cast of Grown Ups 2 were forced into a corner when they realised it was the first day of shooting and they hadn't written a script and they also had to improvise. So there's going to be varying degrees of quality to the podcast. But, you know, let's all hope for the best and that we can get a higher review than 7% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, together I think we can. We can achieve all those goals. God, so where do we... I mean,
well,
where do
I mean,
we jump in here?
Tim, first things first, Tim. It's lonely going back to watching the movie without a companion, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
it is a very lonely and harrowing experience.
It took me right back to the days when you were at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which was a very dark time in my life. Excuse me.
Little gas there.
Sorry, that'll happen after a couple of beersies. It's not fun, bro. It's not good.
No, it's not fun. And then moreover, I feel like this technical sort of kerfuffle we found ourselves in afterwards just highlights that, like, the lengths that we've gone to ensure that we get to have this important conversation around watching Grown Ups 2 for the 43rd time is, it's too much, really. I mean, I do not think that it warrants this amount of commitment.
You're damn right about that. It definitely doesn't. There's no question. What we're doing doesn't make any fucking sense, but that's the point, isn't it?
I guess what's important is that we do get down to the nitty gritty and discuss exactly what has happened in the film today. The plot is still very similar to last week and the weeks preceding that. It's just a bunch of people in a town, really. And that is essentially the plot. I mean, they don't really go into too much more detail than that. Tim, I did notice something which I quite like us to start doing. There's a new hashtag available for us, hashtag Puritan Power, which is one of the slogans at Stanton High School. I think that's a really good hashtag. I think we could have something on our hands there.
Wait, have you searched it yet, though, bro? Have you seen what's on there currently?
Well, you know full well that my internet situation is dire, so no, I have
right,
not.
Let me do it while I'm talking to you. You take it. I actually, like, just in the last 5 minutes or so, feel like the alcohol's really kicked in. I was very lucid for the first recording of the podcast, but I feel like it's really coming to the fore now.
I feel like the afterburners have been activated. Well, Tim, there were a few points in the movie that, I mean, I guess the benefit of watching it alone is that you do pay attention sort of with more consistency than otherwise. It was a very immersive viewing. It was just me and the laptop with the headphones on. I mean, it was a real cinema experience. I still don't know why exactly the guys go to Kmart. Beyond the real world reason, which is to pay for part of the film. Mm. But there's... What are you doing? At least, you know, go to the trouble of some explanation for why they go to Kmart. They're just suddenly in Kmart. No one suggested they go to Kmart. No one actually needed anything. None of what they buy is part of the plot, except for maybe the raft.
Yeah.
They're just suddenly in a... I mean, Tim, if we were hanging out one morning, and I said to you, hey, I've got a really great idea for how we could kill like maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Should we nip down to the Kmart? What would you say?
I'd say, all right, let's go. They've got cheap Pepsi.
Well, I guess, I mean, if that's how our friendship works, then it makes it slightly more conceivable that's how it could work in Grown Ups too. Maybe they just were short of something to do and wanted to go. I was assuming what you would say to me is, Guy, could you please come up with something better, with a better idea? The only thing, like Chris Rock, when he's in Kmart, is looking at the garden hose section, you know, just to facilitate a conversation with Tim Meadows. He winds up buying that garden hose. Did you see what happened to that garden hose in the film, Tim? I sure didn't.
It didn't amount to much. And I'll tell you what, everyone buys something. And I know that Nick Swartzen buys toilet paper. And I know that Chris Rock buys indiscriminate objects in a shopping bag. And Kevin James has something
too. And a garden
hose. And a garden hose. I can't remember if Sandler has, Lenny Fader has anything.
No, I don't think Kevin James buys anything. I think Sandler buys something. Oh. I don't think Kevin James does because he's got to keep his arms free for that great burp snut he does in the car park. A very memorable moment in the film.
Good point.
It just drives me insane though. There's no explanation, mate.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to find too much meaning in all this stuff.
How's the Puritan Power hashtag looking?
Dude, if I've spelt it right, nothing exists on it. Is it P-U-R-I-T-I-A-N? Is that how you spell Puritan?
No, it's P-U-R-I-T-A-N.
Oh, there's no second I. Well, then that's my fucking bad. All right, hold on. Let me delve back into it. Let's remove that I. There. And, oh, shit, there's tons. Here we bloody go.
Ah.
There's a link to a bloody New York Times opinion piece here. All right. Do you want me to read some of these or what's the go here? What do you want to have happen?
I don't really care. How interested are you in Puritan Power?
Okay. Here's the first one. At Pastor Clint writes, at Cold Coy Still, it's COYESTILL. Power cleaning big weight in the shed today, quoting the Bible and pounding the iron. # Puritan Power. The second one is actually in Spanish, and it says, Panda de Noños, # Puritan Power, retweet, some Instagram thing. The third is...
My interest in the Puritan Power # is waning at a rate of knots, Tim.
But this last one's
good. Let's talk about the film again. Let's get off this Puritan Power # Puritan Power.
Okay, but don't forget that you started this hot mess of a situation of a # of a fucking conversation.
I didn't quite anticipate you approaching it with as much vigor as you did, and that is my bad. I underestimated your current state of inebriation.
This is only half about that, bro. It's only half about that. You know what I mean?
What did you notice today in watching Grown Ups 2?
Here's the things I noticed in no particular order because I wrote down some notes. This, and I'll level with you guys, I used this as my shining light in the first recording of the podcast. Lenny Fader says at the start, he says, it's the first time I haven't had a job since I was 16 years old. I'm just enjoying the fun. Now, he says this in a seemingly flippant comment to his wife, Selma Hayek, in the movie Roxanne... What's her double barrel last name? Fader.
I don't remember.
Oh, fuck. Neither do I. We should know that. But anyway, she suggests they have another kid. He says that line. But it's that last bit of the line. I'm just enjoying the fun that really stuck out to me. And I feel like Lenny Fader / Adam Sandler is saying that to us. He's breaking the fourth wall and he's saying, this is the first time I've worked on a film, you know, since my early days where I've been grinding away, where I worked my way up from my bootstraps on Saturday Night Live, and I made these very good comedy films where I worked oh so hard on them. And this one, do you know what? I've got my foot off the gas a little bit. I'm just enjoying the fun. Me and some mates decided to...
So you feel like, yeah, he's almost breaking the fourth wall. He's winking at the camera when he says that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying not only that, but it's actually more like a warning for the rest of the film because it comes pretty early where it's like, you know what, guys, just take this for what it is. Me and my mates decided to get together and hang out, and there happened to be some cameras rolling. And we made up some skits. Right, they don't amount to much. I know that there's not a broad story here. This isn't Lord of the Rings we're shooting. But, you know, fucking, we had a good time, so have at it.
Well, I don't doubt that they had a good time. I just feel like it wouldn't have killed them if they'd maybe... I feel like they did have a really good time on set, or at least around set, maybe in the trailers, you know, after they'd finished work for the day or whatever. I just don't know that they captured the essence of that fun on film.
I hear you, because of Chris Rock's dead eyes. That's what makes you say that. If any time you look at Chris Rock's eyes while he's on camera, cold, dead eyes. He doesn't like what he's doing. He doesn't like what he's making.
Tim, I really like that. I think that's it's an interesting point. And certainly with consideration, my shining light this week was actually, it's one of the first lines in the movie that I've never heard before. Mm. It's really close to the top. When the deer starts pissing all over the bedroom and pissing on Adam Sandler, Selma Hayek actually says, "Close your mouth," because he's getting urine in his mouth.
Oh my God.
First of all, that's
I've
funny.
I've never heard that.
Because first of all, it's funny because a deer's pissing in Adam Sandler's mouth, which is just good comedy. And I mean, I think I just found it satisfying that there was a line in there I'd missed, and that was actually, I mean, it's not bad comedy, is it? It's not. It's also not bad advice. If a deer's pissing on your face, surely your instinct would be to close your mouth.
Yep, you're not wrong, guy. You are not wrong.
So, I mean, I found that little hidden treasure buried in the opening scene of the film, one which has been much derided by us in previous episodes of the podcast. I actually found quite a lot during the movie, as I was saying earlier, that I feel by virtue of not sitting next to you and sort of having someone to deflect to or discuss, you know, and get on tangents with, when it's just you in the movie, there are things you notice which aren't otherwise available to you.
Boy, do you zone in, guy. Boy, do you get involved with that. You put your head down, you put your bum up, and you get to the work of looking at Grown Ups 2 as a real work of cinema.
That's right. Also, but you'll probably notice that a lot of these things I noticed were at the start of the film when I was still sort of quite optimistic about the viewing experience, and then the list sort of tapers out after about the maybe 10-minute mark. There was a really nice shot down the hallway of Becky, Roxanne, and Greg when the deer's running down the hallway and Greg's in the shower. Roxanne and Becky are leaning out their bedrooms. It's just a beautifully constructed shot. I'm sure the DOP had a really good time taking that. Probably a few high fives were thrown around set after they bought that.
What the
it's sort of like a focus
fuck
line.
Is happening to us that we're heaping this amount of praise on Grown Ups 2? Like, I started to suspect today because I was watching it by myself. And at the very beginning, before I had the turn, I had some sort of warm feeling. It's like, oh, this recognizable old friend coming in from the cold to greet me a happy farewell and a Merry Christmas. And I feel like there is some semblance of a Stockholm Syndrome type scenario.
It does sound like a Stockholm Syndrome situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, bro.
Although it's unique from Stockholm Syndrome in that we haven't been kidnapped by Grown Ups 2. We've sort of surrendered ourselves to... Like, we haven't been kidnapped, have we?
We've sort of just shown up. The conditions of entrapment are semi-relevant. The fact of the matter is we are engaged with this enemy. We are trapped inside of its prison, no matter if it put us there or we put ourselves there. And now we're starting to form some weird kind of symbiotic, sympathetic relationship with this film where we start forgiving its sins. And I don't think it deserves that, man.
Hey, just before that, you...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Saying this is just Adam Sandler having some fun and maybe we shouldn't hold the movie up to the standards that we have been week after week. I mean, I feel like these beers you've been drinking got you all over the map, Tim.
I've had 8 beers, guy, and I don't know what I'm saying anymore, and I've seen this movie 43 times now. You can't, like, I don't know where the insanity begins and Tim ends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sort of shine the cold, hard magnifying glass of logic on you too hard. I mean, it sounds like you're in a pretty dark place. It's Christmas Eve. You're all by yourself. You're drunk in a flat. You're recording your second podcast after your 43rd viewing of Grown Ups
2. That's fucked up, bro. And the movie is like an hour and a half long, and the podcast is like half an hour. This is too much for Christmas Eve. It's far too much.
It's quite a lot to take in. Another thing that I noticed in the movie, Tim, is, I don't know if we've talked about it before, I'm really worried about the general health of everyone in Stanton, Connecticut.
Tell me more.
I first noticed it when there's that shot on the bus where Nick Swartzen's asleep at the back of the bus and the kids are feeding him sort of what look like twisties, we call them in New Zealand. I think they might be Cheetos in America.
Oh, sure.
Now, I don't know, if I was a parent, I wouldn't want my kid eating these sort of quite fatty treats on the way to school. That's not a good place to start, is it?
But
it goes on from there, because these aren't even like young kids who don't know better. These are teenagers who should start having some consideration from their body. And then, like, you look at Chris Rock's family, they're having not like pure OJ, but that Tropicana orange juice at breakfast and Pepsi the rest of the day. I mean, there's a lot of sugar going in their bodies there. That's a diabetes risk. You look at the dinner, you know, that after party dinner when they have eggs, pancakes, sausages, bacon all at about 1 a.m.
Yeah.
These are full-grown men with families to worry about. And then Adam Sandler has the gall to walk into his bedroom with his newly pregnant wife. He's just eaten, like, presumably 2 servings of what is an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet at the Lamonsoff's, and he's still going back for more. He's eating chips.
Potato chips.
He's got Pepsi next to the bed.
Crisps for our UK listeners.
I mean,
listeners.
These people can't be expected to live much longer than 50.
When you live in the Grown Ups 2 universe, do you want to live much longer than 50?
Well, that's a good...
Okay, so let me lay something on you, Guy. I mean, we know that the rules are slightly different in the Grown Ups 2 universe. For example, Nick Swartzen doesn't die when he gets his neck broken in a horrific bus incident at the hands of Lenny Fader, which would kill a normal man under normal circumstances. So we know the rules are different. So I put it to you that in the Grown Ups 2 universe, you cannot kill yourself directly. There's no way to do it. It's disallowed, right? It's like in the Christian faith, killing yourself is a sin, in certain denominations at least. I believe in, if you're a devout Catholic, in Catholicism, you know, it's a sin to kill yourself. And I'll tell you one thing, Mormonism, it definitely is. So I put it to you, Grown Ups 2 is set in a pseudo Mormon setting where you cannot kill yourself directly, and these guys just want to escape the reality of their daily lives, and the only way they can do it is by eating their fat asses into an early grave.
I see. So you think it's they're deliberately sort of going about this poor nutrition in the hopes of an early grave.
Of death. That's what I'm positing. It may be a reflection on my current situation and the darkness which I found myself surrounded in before. It's not even noon now, for Christ's sake. I'm wasted. It's Christmas Eve. But I'd like to think that it's not a projection situation and that I'm actually picking up on something that I haven't in the previous weeks of watching this.
I'd like to think that as well. There are some other talking points I'd quite like to tackle before we get into our regular segments.
I'll dig in.
Which is, I think that they need to do a bit of a culling of the staff at the high school, or at all of the schools in Stanton. We've talked about the ballet recital before. Now, this recital lasts for probably less than 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Presumably the ballet teacher's been working on this with the kids for, I don't know, a couple of months
at least,
to get them ready for their big performance. There's only about 15 kids on stage, There's over 100 people watching that recital. There's more than 4 adults to 1 child on stage. Who are these grown-ups?
Well, I could take you on that point right now if you'd allow me to. Would you allow me to?
Of course.
Shaq himself, Officer... Bazoo says himself, everyone's going to be there. Everyone knows about the hot teacher, bro. Everyone knows about that teacher. Everyone's coming to see her. My question is more, how did the husbands drag their wives to that event? Because everyone seems to be coupled up.
I do not understand how a 10-minute ballet recital featuring 12 children draws that crowd. I mean, obviously, you've made the point of the ballet teacher, but questions need to be asked. I mean, the Ministry of Education needs to look at where these resources are being put into the schools. Because the other thing I thought was, you know, when Adam Sandler trips up on that sprinkler and breaks his son's leg?
Oh, yeah, I remember it fondly.
They're in the middle of a fully functional football field. That isn't like just a temporary irrigation sprinkler. That is embedded in the field.
Yeah.
That is a health hazard. I mean, presumably they play full football games on that.
How has it not happened before?
How is that groundskeeper not in huge trouble? Who fires these?
Especially because in New Zealand, and because I'm aware that the majority of our audience is in America, in New Zealand we have this thing called ACC, which is the Accident Compensation Corporation.
Compensation.
Which would freak you guys out because, like, you think Obamacare is socialized medicine? We've got legit socialized medicine over here, and it is wonderful. We all pay into a big pool, and if you fucked yourself up accidentally, they give you a payout. They fix you, and they pay for you if you're off work to, like, 80% of your income or something. In America, though, they sue the fuck out of each other all the time. They fucking love it. So if you've got a sprinkler out there, and it's at the university, isn't it?
It's not at the university. It's at the high school.
Stanton High, if we're calling it there.
Hashtag Puritan Power.
Puritan Power, go Puritans. But someone would, like, Keithy, and especially because Lenny Fader was an agent in Hollywood, as far as we can get a grasp on in the first movie. So he is well aware of the power of the law and of getting, you know, legal on people's asses. He would sue the fuck out of that groundskeeper.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be calling in a lot of high-powered lawyers and really looking to take that school to task. I just feel like it's a huge oversight on the part of a groundskeeper.
Massive.
Whose predominant job is to keep the grounds. I mean, the last thing you want as a groundskeeper trying to maintain a decent reputation is an embedded sprinkler in the middle of a functioning football field. It's not even high risk, high reward. It's just needlessly risky.
We've got a couple of destinations we need to head to, and we are quickly running out of road to hit them in. So if I may, I'd like to invite you onto a little vehicle of mine. Would that be okay with you?
That sounds great to me, Tim.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Here it comes now. Roll up. Roll up for the mystery tour and roll up. It's an inspiration. Roll up for the mystery tour. The Steve Buscemi mystery tour is coming to take I away. Coming to take I away. Take him today.
That was beautiful.
It wasn't, but I thank you for humouring me.
Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour. Tim, have you got something for this?
Certainly do. Here's what's happened to Steve Buscemi. He has been injured in the first movie, and we haven't seen the first movie, so we're trying to guess his injuries. Here are our clues. His hands are affixed in the touchdown position for 2 years, and he has had 40% feeling in his body. What I would like to posit is that he has been involved in a horrific boxcar accident. Boxcars are real cool. Often a father and son venture where you get together and you make out of planks of wood a box, you put some wheels on it and a steering wheel. It's very rudimentary, and then you race those things downhill against the other neighborhood kids. Now Steve Buscemi made one of these for his son. And to test it out, he went down a mighty hill to really show his son what it was made of, how fast it could go, and its cornering abilities. Unfortunately, he lost control and ended up fucking out and slammed into a dumpster at the end.
Nice.
But what happened was he had his hands in the touchdown position at the time because he went, I'm the king of the world. Look at me, son. And he really fucked out, and it smashed him.
That is probably, from recent weeks, one of the more plausible theories we've had about how Steve Buscemi got his injuries.
A lot more possible than the time travel
one. I'm going to be really interested to find out. Yeah, really. Or I also have heard from numerous sources that Steve Buscemi, as it turns out, doesn't have a fascination with fingering jars of mayonnaise, and that was just pure speculation on my part.
I really loved that one, though, by the way, bro. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, Tim, I like that one. As you said, we're running out of time, so if you wouldn't mind humouring me quickly, I've got a friend who's coming over.
Do you? Who's that? Who's your mate?
Yeah. Oh, he's got a bit of a stutter. He sort of, when he comes into a room, he usually goes a bit like this. He goes... Paddish Falls, party time. It's Paddish Falls, a nigger, and he's riding on a jet ski. It's Paddish Falls, party time. He's brandishing a machete, and we're saying, Paddy, put it down. It's Paddish Falls. Party time, Mashetsky, Patty Schwartz has got a new business. Mashetsky, brought to you by Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Hashtag...
Sick of not being allowed to carry... Hashtag Puritan Power, hashtag Mashetsky. That's a big hashtag.
How do you spell Mashetsky real quick, guy, just so people can tweet that out?
M-A-C-H-E-T-S-K-I.
Thank you.
Mashetsky. It's a business idea that Patrick Schwarzenegger, after he's made a lot of money on Blaze Pizza, hashtag Blaze Pizza, big thanks to, frankly, the finest and fastest pizza on Venice Beach.
Don't hashtag Blaze Pizza. You got to tag them in. And I think it's just hashtag Blaze Pizza, I think. Let me double check. But you go.
At Blaze Pizza. Anyway, well, this isn't my Patrick Schwarzenegger party time moment, but I understand that he started a business where he's just started strapping machetes onto the front of jet skis. Mm-hmm. And it's a classic example of working backwards from the name. He just came up with the word machetski, quite liked it, and sort of thought he'd see if he can dip his toe in the machetski or jet ski pool. Mm. But my Patty Schwartz party time moment this week, Tim, was when Patrick Schwarzenegger got headbutted by the blonde frat boy at the quarry. It looked to me like an improvised offer from the blonde frat boy, and Patrick Schwarzenegger was not expecting the headbutt, and he sort of was a bit all at sea for all of half a second to a second, but it was a joy to watch him recover, and the professional he is, he recovered at pace and sort of turned back to, Adam Sandler and the grown-ups.
Paddy Schwartz headbutts, like, who headbutts whom? Because my memory
He receives a headbutt, so they're psyching up and threatening the grown-ups, and the blonde guy looks at Patrick Schwarzenegger and he bows his head and he butts right into his sort of chest or his thorax region.
Oh yeah, if he was an insect.
And it's just, where's your windpipe? What's in the middle of your body?
Your windpipe.
What's a thorax?
You don't have a thorax because you're not an insect, but I guess it's your torso, your sternum.
What is it?
If you
what
go
is
a little north of your your belly,
I think I wanted to say sternum.
Sternum, sure.
Well, I feel like my ignorance is really distracted from the Patty Schwartz party time
don't
moment.
Don't you dare! No, not at all. So tell me what exactly about that moment so beautiful for you?
It was just getting to watch sort of the raw footage of Patrick Schwarzenegger deal with an improvised offer, and then sort of seeing him hit with his shaky sea legs like a newborn foal. He was really struggling to find his feet, but in a matter of seconds he came to, and he not only did he accept the offer, he yes-anded the offer, which is one of the classic rules of improv. He said yes and he took that, and his and was he turned to the grown-ups and sort of turned his fear into a threat and into essentially their fear of the frat boys.
All right, guys.
It was really powerful stuff.
It's a good one. It's a real good one. I want to announce that I have tried to recreate the drinking rules for the Grown Ups 2 drinking game. And they're really coming along. And what my aim is to have these out on or around New Year's. So during the festive season, if you find yourself at a lost end with some mates, you can go, I've got just the thing for this. Jump on the facebook.com/worst idea of all time, have a look at the rules there and go, you know what we're going to do, gentlemen, today? We're going to watch Grown Ups 2, and we're going to follow Tim and Guy's advice on where and when to drink. And I'd like to add that based on the rules I have so far, you do drink quite a lot during the movie. So you just want to take really, not a big gulp. You want to take a little sip of beer at each point that I've labelled out in the rules. It's not coming out for another week, but they'll be there soon enough. Because
Very good work.
We did a drinking game episode much earlier in the podcast, months and months ago, but I lost the page that I scribbled all my notes down on, and I'm sure I took a photo of it, but I can't find the file anywhere. So this is the situation.
Yeah, I have to accept responsibility. I was somewhat belligerent and overbearing in that episode of the podcast, and I might not have given you and the drinking rules the breathing room they needed to be made clear through the podcast. So I'll put my hand up and wear that one.
That's fine.
But, you've done a noble thing in trying to recreate it, Tim, and I'm sure not only will I appreciate it, but any listener stupid enough to turn on Grown Ups 2 will also be very appreciative of what you're doing.
In closing, the correct at is at Blaze Pizza, B-L-A-Z-E, or Z if you're in America, P-I-Z-Z-A, Blaze Pizza. Make sure you're at Blaze Pizza in all your tweets to us. We'd love to get more of those selfies in. All the selfies we've received, they bring us so much joy. They make me so happy seeing you guys listening to podcasts out there, because you come from different walks of life. Me and Guy, we grew up in New Zealand, but you guys are you're in Chicago, you're in Nebraska, you're in the fucking Netherlands, bitch. You're in United Kingdom.
All right, Tim, you're getting a little bit adventurous with your descriptions of where people are and the names you're calling those people. So I'd be very happy to sign off at this point and wish everyone a safe holiday season.
Yes, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, and a jolly good Hanukkah to you all.
That's right. We'll be back probably. I mean, I don't know that you'll get to hear from us.
New Year's Eve, bitch. So we'll be New Year's motherfucking Eve.
Well, this is a conversation that needs to take place between
right
Tim
now,
and I off air.
Right now, the conversation's happening and it's done. We'll see you guys on New Year's Eve, motherfuckers. New episode 44. Worst day of all time. Hashtag Puritan Power at Blaze Pizza. Tim_Bat.
Hashtag Mishetsky.
Guy_Matt. Hashtag Mishetsky. We're all, I think I said your name wrong. It's Guy_Mont. I got carried away. I'm going to bail out. Bye, everyone. Guy, take us away.
Just remember to live every moment and love every day, because before you know it, your precious time slips away.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.